And now, broadcasting from their secret hideout, Checkpoint XP presents a show about comic books and superheroes. Robbie Landis, Joe Sloan, The Other Identity.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the majestic mound.
To the majestic mound?
That one didn't work.
No,
you know what I was trying to think of?
That sounds like a porno title.
You know what I was trying to think of? What do you call it? Like where rabbits or rodents like dwell, like when they dig something like a tunnel or a hole out,
like a hovel or
not a hovel. What's that word?
For a lair, like a den?
No, it's not a den. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. You know what? You have no room to talk. You still have yet to suggest anything for this show.
Yeah, I'm trying to look up what a rabbit's lair is.
You haven't suggested a single thing.
And yet,
for this show,
I didn't suggest the majestic mound, so I'm calling that a win.
You know what? I just flubbed a little bit on my vocabulary there. That's all. All right, the secret bungalow. It's still the secret bungalow. I'm, of course, the Great Landis here with my sidekick, who I'd like to kick in the side.
We've got Volkai in the chat over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp hitting us up with Warren. It is a rabbit's Warren.
Okay, well, that's specifically to a rabbit, but like other animals like do the same thing. They dig out like just
like
holes in the ground. Burrow. Yeah, no, that wouldn't have worked either.
Majestic burrow. The beautiful burrow.
Yeah. No, we'll go back to the drawing board with that.
We'll try again next week.
Yeah. So welcome, guys. Welcome into today's episode. It's going to be a fun one. It's going to be like a few weeks ago, we did an episode where we talked about like the Harley Quinn cartoon, the Joker movie, and then Shia LaBeouf maybe being... Moon Knight.
We did.
Instead of taking just like one big topic, you know, on days when there's not really a whole lot going on, which, by the way, it's New York Comic Con weekend.
It is New York Comic Con weekend.
So hopefully next week.
Yeah, we should have some Comic Con stuff to talk about.
We got some big stuff to talk about.
Yeah, that'd be exciting.
Today I've just kind of gathered a few things from around the internet that I'm like, all right, we should probably talk about these.
And you didn't tell me what any of them are.
No.
So I don't actually know what we're talking about. Everything's off the dome today.
Right. So the first one, this is a softball pitch for you.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
And that's the good news that everyone around the world rejoiced about, and that is that Sony and Disney have come to terms, and Spider-Man is staying in the Marvel Cinematic Universe for one more solo film.
Yep.
Spider-Man 3, which is going to be in 2021. Which
yes, July 2021.
Quick turnaround, by the way.
Yeah, 2 years.
Less than two years at this point.
Yeah. I think the story concept's already done.
Oh, sure. And then after that, he will be in a yet untitled MCU crossover, which the heavy rumors are right now. It's going to be New Avengers.
Right, exactly. Or, yeah, okay. Whatever the next big team-up film is. Yeah.
So here's the questions we have. The first, do you think it was a work? Do you think this was all just planned and they had every intention of coming through with a new deal?
Yes and no. I don't think it was a work in the idea of it being like, hey, let's get everyone real excited.
You don't think that Sony and Disney higher-ups got into a room and they're like, hey, let's play out over the next few months that we're not going to continue our deal?
No, I don't think so. Okay. I think Sony said, what the hell is Marvel going to do? We're going to play some hardball for an extra percentage point or two on the next movie. And they got their wish. We don't know. I assume, though, that you know a deal was struck. So I think they did get the extra money.
Marvel just said,
what, we're not going to make $1 billion?
So who overall do you think was at fault for the split happening then?
I would say...
Because Sony, as far as terms go, I think Sony's getting the better end of the deal here. You know, they went up from what, it was 10%? Before I think
5%,
now they get 25% of it. Yeah. They also have to co-finance,
sure,
25%.
But I think absolutely Sony play a little hardball, knowing Marvel would buckle and won. I think that's exactly
how is this a Sony win in your eyes? Because I think Marvel would have continued to want to use Spider-Man either way,
right?
So where was the win here for Sony in your eyes? Because I also
the extra 20%.
No, Disney. Gets the 20%.
Oh,
is getting 25.
I misunderstand then.
Yeah, no. Oh. As far as the terms go, Disney's now, they're putting more money in, but they're also getting more
money
back.
Out.
Ooh. Yeah.
Ooh, now I have to think about that.
Yeah.
I think you know what? I think Marvel might have won out on that one then. Do you think the social media pressure got to them?
Well, first of all, there's rumors coming out that it was Tom Holland that got to them. That he... That,
wait,
yeah,
what?
Yes. No, the rumors are that since the D23 Expo, which he was at, which I think was like the maybe the week after the whole big thing happened, so he was probably still going to it regardless, was that after that, he was constantly calling Bob Iger and whoever the head chairman of Sony is.
It
was
oh my God.
It was basically putting pressure on them, like the fans are upset and you guys are making a big mistake here.
Are you telling me that Tom Holland played the mommy, daddy, stop fighting card?
Yes. I'm telling you that Tom Holland is the hero we need.
Well, I tell you what, I think we've all believed that Tom Holland is the hero we need for about 4 years now. It feels like from the moment he started spoiling things, we were all like, this is him.
Yeah, but man, I would love, and I didn't even start the timer that I said I was going to start here, but I would love to be a fly on a wall somewhere to know what happened. Because I don't think that Disney was the one who probably, you know, was like, we don't want, you know, blah, 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 whatever. Because if you remember...
Yeah, I had it backwards in my head.
Yeah, because if you remember, Sony had said that Marvel had broke the deal.
Yep.
Because Kevin Feige had too much on his plate.
I never believed that.
To also
that,
deal
though.
With that. You want to know when I knew it was real bullshit, though?
When?
When it was announced last week or maybe 2 weeks ago that Feige is going to be heading up a brand new Star Wars story.
All right, first of all, that's exciting.
Yeah,
and second of all, correct.
Yes.
that means it's utter bullshit.
Yeah.
I don't think for a second that it was because Feige was too busy to be doing that. No, money was definitely at the heart of it.
Based on the information that we have or the rumors that we have to go for, what I would say is probably the most likely case, if Disney wanting to go 50-50 was true, then I think Sony backing out of it to then be able to talk them down to 25 is probably the most likely scenario.
So do you think then that Sony never had any real intention of truly walking away? Do you think like if Marvel hadn't buckled at all, Sony would have just given in? Or do you think they'd have stuck to their guns?
I don't know. I think that they probably would have stuck to their guns. I don't think it would have worked out for them in the long run.
Yeah.
Though. So yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens going forward.
If you're Marvel, do you take this opportunity to write Spider-Man out?
Yes.
Yeah, I do too.
Yes.
So I don't ever want to be put in this position again if I'm Marvel.
If you don't want to write him out, then what you need to commit to right now is securing the rights fully from Sony
for in perpetuity.
Yes.
Perpetuity.
Whatever it is, you either get them to sign something to where like, that's it. Like this is the deal going forward. You can have, you know, 75% of it, half of whatever the deal is.
Yeah.
But Spider-Man stays here now. Or you just have to go at him and be like, what's it going to cost?
Yeah, what's the number? Everyone's got a number. Put a number on it. Yeah, I mean, I could see them going that route. For me, my guess is that they will. I think Sony is committed to trying to make the Spider-Man IP work and doing their own stuff with his universe.
Mm-hmm.
We may get an answer with Morbius. If Morbius flops, I think there's a decent chance that Sony commits to a long-term deal with Marvel.
You want to know what else I hope happens?
Morbius flops.
I hope Venom 2 flops, actually.
Ooh. So I will say this. I would not be shocked to see Venom 2 flop.
Especially with... Look, I'm a big fan of Carnage.
I am too.
I'm also a big fan of
Woody Harrelson. I am too.
But
I am not a fan
but
of...
But him as Carnage, yeah. What they did to him with his Raggedy Ann wig? No.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, and don't get me wrong. I think like if we saw Carnage in a more long-term capacity or, you know, Cletus Cassidy, I don't think he would actually have that haircut. It'd be like one of the first things. Like, he cuts his hair when he gets out of prison.
Oh, probably. Okay.
It'll be a different look. I think we're supposed to see him as kind of like the rundown psychopath at this point.
Yeah.
But... That aside, you're right. I like Woody Harrelson an awful lot. I like Carnage an awful lot. I don't know that I like Woody Harrelson as Carnage. It's not a great play, I don't think.
We'll end up seeing what comes of it, but you're right. I think that if both Venom and Morbius underperform, I think that puts Sony in a position where they're like, I think we should just stick with Marvel.
I think we got
a good thing going
because
here.
Because as much as I liked Venom, and I did, I really enjoyed it, I think what they did with Venom in that movie has a limited amount of entertainment. You can only do that so much.
What if Venom underperforms and Disney offers to do the same thing they did with Spider-Man? We'll take, let us you know, create the Venom movie and we'll share the profits and then it'll be good.
I'd be fascinated if Disney said, let us take the entire Spider-Man character, everything that comes with it.
Let us do it and
let us use all of it and we'll license it from you. We'll pay it from you. Oh my God. The idea of Marvel having to license their own character that they licensed out to Sony. Yeah. That's pretty funny.
I just had this great image in my head where Bob Iger actually sends the meme of Star-Lord to, I think Amy Pascal's herself. And they're like, loved Venom, but here's an idea. Let us do the movie and then maybe it won't be bad. Or maybe it'll be good. Whatever it is.
All right. We love your plan. Here's the thing. It sucks. So let us come with the plan and it won't be bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, guys, we'd love to know what you think. Are you happy that Marvel, has Spider-Man back in the MCU? Do you think that it's a smart idea to write him out in whatever the next Avengers movie is? Because if he had like a death arc, similar to what Tony did, you would have this great parallel, you know, that sort of completes his own Tony arc. But you have to do it in a way to where it doesn't seem like you're just doing another Tony Stark. But anyway, let us know. Checkpoint XP on Twitter and Facebook. We'd love to hear from you guys. Thank you guys for joining us for The Other Identity, a talk show about comic books and comic culture. Joe has gone in today's show completely blind. He has no idea what we're talking about.
As evidenced by that first one where I botched who got the better end of the deal.
Yeah, that's right. So the next thing that I'd like to talk about is coming up here very soon, in just a few short days, the Joker movie is going to be coming out, right?
It is.
And the last time that we talked about it, I think we've talked about it a few times, and I think that we've slowly sort of been hyping ourselves a little bit more and a little bit more towards it, right? And what it could be, what it is that it's going to do. And I've kind of, I'm still going to see it, but I've slid back a little bit based on a few new things that I've learned.
Man, is this the case of a movie that would have been well served to bump up their release date by about 3 weeks?
Yes, probably. But, you know, after some comments that the director has made, I feel like if I go in and I enjoy this movie for what it is, I don't know that he intended to actually make it deep and like, well, does this make any sense? Am I just speaking kind of gobbledygook right now?
Here's my thing, man. I think of all of us, I was the most excited for this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And my enthusiasm for it has dropped significantly because I can't help but feel like the worst case scenario for this movie is about to play out now.
Yes, yes. So the director...
I mean, sorry, the second worst case scenario. Worst case scenario was Suicide Squad. Second worst case scenario.
Okay. So yeah, the director basically came out and said that the reason that he decided to do the Joker movie, he made some comment about how apparently woke culture and PC culture has killed comedy. So I don't know, is he trying to show that through this film now?
I was literally just talking to Nate about this, and you know what, maybe I'll just go grab him because we were going through some of his old filmology. I don't know if woke culture killed comedy. I think he might have killed comedy.
He doesn't have the best track record.
No,
honestly,
his history sucks. What, let me grab Nate one second.
sure go ahead. But yeah, look, I feel like if he took this chance to do this movie and it's sort of him, he basically wants to say, like, you know, the Joker is me, and, you know, woke culture or PC culture has made stuff unfunny, and, you know, that's what I'm sort of showing with the Joker. Like, first of all, I think that plays into the whole thing that a lot of people are concerned with, that, you know, certain types of people, like your incels, might find a bit of a hero in it. Welcome, Nate. Appreciate you coming and sort of hanging out with us here for a little bit.
Hello. Welcome into the majestic mound.
It's
whatever we've named this place.
It's still the secret bungalow.
Okay.
All right. I was trying something. Look, you know what? Joe hasn't came up with a single damn thing for this show. He is the worst
bungalow
sidekick.
Automatically, I'm thinking like pool boys and stuff. Like, you got a lot of pool boys hanging out in here that I don't know about.
More than we're happy about, but less than you'd expect.
Yeah. So actually, Nate, you were one of the first people to come to us with this comment that the director of the Joker movie made about, you know, wanting to basically pivot away from comedy because it's been killed by woke culture.
What comedy? Like, what comedy are we talking about? Are we talking about the three Hangover movies? Are we talking about Road Trip, that shit movie that he made in like 2003.
I will say that.
Are we talking about like, listen, here's the thing about Todd Phillips. Todd Phillips has objectively never made a funny movie. He has made movies with funny people in them.
There you go.
And the cast is what carries the whole film. No one would have seen The Hangover if it had starred, like, I don't know.
Dennis Leary.
And Val Kilmer.
There you
know what I mean? Like, no,
perfect. Yep.
No one would have seen that.
It's at best, it would have been an airplane movie. At best.
Yeah,
the only reason I saw Due Date... Iron Man, Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, RDJ.
That's it.
Again, a movie that is objectively carried by the cast in it, not by any of the script or the direction. So I bristle at the fact that Todd Phillips calls himself a comedian or even labels himself in the same stratosphere of a comedian. He's not a comedian. He's a filmmaker. He's a shitty filmmaker at best. And he should probably stick to making junk like the Joker.
This is like when I talk about David Cage. It's the same exact thing. David Cage is a hack. He should stick to what he does. And frankly, maybe don't even do that.
Like here's how to kill my interest in a movie over the span of like 3 weeks. Talk about how it's a big homage to a movie that I've seen and that I like, and then shit your pants and complain about woke culture and PC culture for 2 weeks leading up to the release of the film. And I'm guaranteed to keep my money in my wallet. And I'm going to call you a jackass on Twitter. Oh, and by the way, one of his early production notes on his IMDb was that he was involved with that movie Hated. It's a movie about Gigi Allen, who is objectively the worst person on the planet. Ew. And every time I find out that there's one of these guys out there who's complaining about woke culture, PC culture, inevitably they have some sort of worship of Gigi Allen in there,
great.
Which means that they're just trying to be a crappy person on purpose, which I think has no value. There's a lot of comedians that are, that push the edge and try different stuff, and they justify it through the joke that they tell running up to the punchline or the bad word. I'm fine with edgy material. I'm fine with people pushing the envelope. I'm not okay for doing it for no reason.
Yeah.
If you have a point that you're trying to drive home through doing it, and there are comedians who are masterful at this. George Carlin, Richard Pryor, Patton Oswalt.
Oh yeah, you can look more recently. Daniel Tosh is good at it.
Daniel Tosh, Kyle Kinane, Doug Stanhope. Even though I hate his podcast, Joe Rogan. All of these guys, they work on their material, they justify their jokes, and they justify any controversial material in their set through the jokes that they're telling. They don't have to go on Twitter and defend them. And nobody's trying to hold them accountable for that kind of stuff, that kind of behavior, those kind of jokes. I've seen straw manning recently against like Bill Burr and Dave Chappelle, which is like, I don't believe any of that because I've not met a single person that's been like, yeah, fuck those guys. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they've been like, okay, a couple of jokes weren't for me, but it was pretty okay.
I didn't care for the recent thing, whatever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No one's actually super mad about it. Not that I've talked to anyway. But you know, we started this segment, and I literally said, "Never can I recall a movie that would have benefited more from releasing 3 weeks earlier."
Because you're literally 100% right.
If this movie comes out at the beginning of September, it has every chance of being a major thing, like a major hit.
Oh yeah,
have my expectations soured?
The director has literally talked me out of it. It's not been any of the kind of ancillary nonsense like, oh well, you know, there might be shootings at the theater, or right, like, you know, this is problematic. Like, I'm not listening to any of that kind of stuff. I'm reading Todd Phillips's direct statements and going, oh, I don't like you as a person.
And I don't want to support and your creative endeavors.
I absolutely don't want to go see your film because I think your point of view is fundamentally wrong and corrupt.
Well, and one of the things that I've heard recently that's just sort of compounding that for me, you know, we talked early on, one of the very first times we talked about what this movie is going to have to look like in order to achieve what people think that it can.
Right.
Apparently, one of the big sort of plot arcs, one of the big plot twists, is he gets rejected or turned down by a woman. And that seems so ham-fisted. And the Joker has never had any sort of romantic angle or anything. He's had obsessions, you know, with Batman.
And, I remember 1989 Batman. He's got the obsession. See,
right.
With
and
girl.
What I thought was in some of these trailers, because Robert De Niro plays like a late night show host who he seems to idolize in some way. And I thought
which is a throwback to the King of Comedy.
Right. And I thought that was the relationship that would sort of end up pushing him over the edge or whatnot. You know, whether that was
he meets his hero and
exactly.
his hero's a dick to him.
Exactly.
That sort of thing. Yeah.
The fact that they found a way. If they have, again, this is just what I've heard and sort of been able to gather from some of the trailers, that it boils down to him just being rejected by a woman, by a potential love interest.
Yeah.
Man.
Here's the thing. I've seen this movie before, and it came out in 1993. It starred Michael Douglas. It was called Falling Down. And it was at the time, the movie was a big deal because it's basically this guy who has a bad day and then goes on a killing spree.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
That
right?
does sound like
right.
a killing
yep.
joke.
Yeah. And you remove the face paint, and that's really all we're left with is a movie that was made, you know, close to 20 years ago now. And again, this comes back to the to what I'm saying. Like Todd Phillips is such a hack that he's ripping off two great movies simultaneously. And the problem with Falling Down was that it didn't really have an emotional heart. It was one of those things that it sort of like Natural Born Killers was just kind of caught up in the spectacle of it.
Yeah.
And because it came out in 1993, you know, people didn't think about like the consequences of kind of depicting this kind of stuff. And as a result, like, you know, Falling Down, for as great of a movie as it can be, is now never mentioned anywhere.
Yeah, as evidence of the fact that most people have not heard of it.
No, most people have not heard of it.
Myself included.
And the thing is that this, you know, like, this was a huge movie when it came out. So I get way more vibes of Falling Down. And I think that ultimately the Joker will kind of live up to that legacy of Falling Down, where it'll get talked about immediately around its release.
Yeah.
And then no one will ever talk about it.
Oh,
ever
good.
Again.
Just, you know, like most DC movies.
Yeah. Well, that would be about right. But I mean, it goes back to what we've talked about since the first time we mentioned this movie, is the penultimate problem of trying to tell the Joker's origin story. As soon as you know where he comes from, he's significantly less interesting. And we talked about, of course, you know, one of the first times we talked about this, what they could do to kind of alleviate that problem and how they could, you know, make the story kind of interesting.
Having him chasing a girl is not it.
That's not the answer.
No.
No.
Nope.
Nope, that wasn't it.
Yeah. Well, Nate, I'm glad you came in here to give us your opinion on this. You are welcome to stick around for this next little segment here. But for those of you at home listening, we need to know, what do you think of the Joker? Are you excited? Are you heading out to see it? I, myself, will be seeing it Sunday. So I'll let you know next episode what I thought here. But stick around, guys. We're going to be right back. Welcome back, guys. Thanks for listening to The Other Identity. If you happen to listen to us on the podcast, you know, you can always catch us live over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Thursdays at about 3 p.m. is what we aim for. So the other weekend, guys, I was out of town. Went to Philadelphia for the Overwatch League Grand Finals. And the flight wasn't long enough to watch most movies. So I had to pick a movie that I watched.
How long is that flight?
Half of it, about an hour, usually an hour and a half, okay. But it's about an hour flight. So. Right. I picked a movie to watch on the way there and then finished it up on the way back. And that was X-Men Dark Phoenix.
Oh, poor bastard.
Yeah.
No,
and
Robbie.
You know, it's funny because when I decided to watch that, it was actually so that I could throw a Twitter insult at our good friend Ben Morris, we had on a few episodes ago.
Oh,
because
yeah.
The 2003 Daredevil was on there as well. So, you know, I tweeted him. I'm like, hey, you know, I could have watched Daredevil, but instead I watched Dark Phoenix.
All right, hold up. My brain is having trouble processing the decision of, like, do I watch Daredevil or Dark Phoenix.
Daredevil would have been better, man.
It's like, do I swallow razor blades or salt? Like,
yeah, Daredevil, exactly. Neither. Both going to be awful and probably going to kill you.
But here's the defense that Daredevil gets.
In a particular order, they're going to be really, really bad.
Oh, yeah. You wouldn't watch them back to back. That's like watching Elektra afterwards.
Here's the defense that Daredevil has. At the time that it came out, what other superhero movies were better than that, right? That's kind of what you expected out of a superhero movie at the time.
The only ones better than that were X-Men, right?
Batman. The original Batman flicks.
Two Batman movies and an X-Men movie that were better than that, I would say.
Yeah, I'd say that's probably fair.
Like, the first X-Men wasn't a masterpiece, but it was better than Daredevil.
Right. Yeah. But that was, I think, what we expected from, like, late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah, you didn't expect a masterpiece.
Right.
That said,
Dark Phoenix really
didn't get one.
Dark Phoenix felt like it should have been made in, like, 2001.
Ooh.
That's the problem with all of the X-Men movies is that, like, when you see them, you're like, oh, that was, I guess, okay.
First Class was great.
But it's only okay if it was, like, 2006, right? Like, X-Men Apocalypse or whatever.
Oh, that was bad.
Right?
I think that was bad in any year.
Olivia Munn didn't even save that one.
It was horrible all around. And just, like, the effects have been so bad. Even First Class, Beast looked objectively stupid.
Okay, yeah. I'm not sure how you do a good Beast, though. Has Beast ever looked good?
In a movie, no.
I don't know when...
Kelsey Grammer.
Kelsey Grammer.
Yeah.
That was better.
Yeah.
Comparatively.
But he still looked like
he had donned a fursuit, for Christ's sake.
I think he might have.
No, it was, at least it was digital, so it looked like digital hell. But it didn't.
Was it digital?
Oh my God. The Beast in the reboot X-Men, like, he just looks like he's in a big blue fursuit.
Well, yeah. which is why they gave him the power to be able to transform out of it.
Oh.
That's a thing. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
He can transform back and forth. I think it might have been in First Class. Or whatever came after that, he had developed a serum that allowed him to.
I think that was Days of Future Past.
Days of Future Past.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, to switch back into his human.
Yeah,
form.
I remember that now that I think about it.
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of blue people in that. Like, out of all the mutants, if you're not just a normal person, you're either Beast, Mystique,
or Nightcrawler. Yeah, you're not wrong.
Yeah, that's fair.
Can I tell you something? Days of Future Past, I think if you went back and showed that in the 40s, they'd be like, I don't know about that.
So the question I have for you guys, worst comic book movie you've seen? Because for me, Dark Phoenix takes it. Dark Phoenix is the worst comic. I would watch Suicide Squad over Dark Phoenix.
Yeah, see, that's the trick, is there's a lot of really bad comic book movies that I've seen. I mean, there's that Fantastic Four movie.
Batman and Robin.
There's Batman and Robin.
Oh my God, there's all the Fantastic Four movies.
Yeah,
really.
You can take your pick, really.
Again, the first two Fantastic Four movies from when they were made was like someone who doesn't know comic books just picked up a comic book and goes, all right, let's just put this on the screen.
There was Catwoman with Halle Berry.
Oh my God, there was.
But at least you're looking at Halle Berry.
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay.
I guess I'll give Elektra a pass on that one,
exactly.
Too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
See?
Jennifer Garner's not that good looking, though.
She was good enough in that movie. Yeah. You know what? For me, it might be Apocalypse. X-Men Apocalypse might be the worst one I've seen. Because I didn't see Dark Phoenix.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I did see Fantastic Four, though. Man, that movie sucks.
Okay. Here's how you deal with Fantastic Four.
Okay.
You don't treat it like a Fantastic Four movie. Because, Trask or Trank, whatever the guy, the director who made it, right? He was actually in an interview where he said, I don't even care about the Fantastic Four movie. I just saw this as a great chance to make some other movie, some other sci-fi thing that he wanted to do.
Wait a minute. Sorry. Green Lantern's mine.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A movie
that I hated all the more because it has Ryan Reynolds in it and it's still bad.
I see, because I didn't see it. Like, my knowledge
in bad
comic book movies is very limited. I think I got to go with Spider-Man 3 because I did just watch that not that long ago. And boy, that was a stinker.
When I was at a bar in Philly, they were actually showing the first Spider-Man was just up on a TV there, yeah. You know, some station. And man, the special effects were bad.
Oh, it was really bad.
Not too long ago.
There's one point where Spider-Man's leg actually goes really close to his head goes really close to going up his ass.
When he's swinging or whatever?
No, it's when he lands, it's like his head
goes so far between his knees that it's like, oh, is it going to go all the way up his anus?
Wow.
I don't know.
Ooh, wow. Volkai's pointing out in the chat X3. Because X3 is pretty horrifically bad, too.
No, you know what? I will take X3 over Dark Phoenix, because at least the script, if you would have just showed me the script to it,
yeah,
I'd have been like, this could work.
There's potential here.
Right.
Yeah. What was X3? What was the...
That was the Phoenix one.
That was it?
Yeah, that was the first Phoenix saga.
Magneto moves a bridge. No, sorry. Phoenix moves the bridge. No, Magneto does.
I think it's Magneto. Yeah. But like the whole scene, you know, near the end, like the whole culmination of like Wolverine being the only one who can get close enough to her to have to kill her. That's a good moment.
Wait a minute. No, X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Yeah, that movie is really bad.
That one was so bad. Because it killed Gambit.
We don't speak of that.
It killed Gambit. It sewed Deadpool's mouth shut.
Yeah, no, I think that's got to be... That has to be the worst.
I think I watched that over Dark Phoenix.
Was it an objectively bad movie from frame one to the very last frame.
Yeah.
But also, they got every character in it so dreadfully, painfully wrong.
Not the Blob. The Blob was fine.
Yeah. Holy shit, the Blob was in
yes,
that movie.
He was.
You know what? It's a tough call between Origins and Green Lantern for me, because they are both horrific.
When it comes down to the worst of the worst, it's really a game of inches, right?
Yeah.
There is absolutely nothing remarkable or nothing about Dark Phoenix that I can say I liked one iota, right? X-Men Origins at least led to great jokes later in the good Deadpool, right? Green Lantern had Michael Clark Duncan.
Yeah,
so like,
Green Lantern gave us the bit where Ryan Reynolds murders himself in Deadpool 2. I guess we get that bit out of it.
I don't know if inside jokes count. What are you talking about?
When you have to find something. Yeah,
the problem is, yeah, we're talking about a game of inches at this point. You're comparing like diarrhea with vomit at this point. They're both awful. But I mean, one of them might mean you ate a decent meal and it just didn't work out for you.
It's just a whole lot of bad. It's just a whole lot of bad, man.
You know, there's a Fantastic Four movie from the 80s that was really weird.
When Disney Plus comes out, we're going to have a lot of stuff to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
We are talking about the 1979 Spider-Woman series, whatever that is.
Can we do an episode about Gargoyles? I want to rewatch
that. Sure.
I want to have a reason to rewatch that. You know, we were talking about Spider-Man 3 a moment ago. We went back and rewatched that trilogy, the whole thing in our household. Ugh. You know what? Spider-Man 2 is actually really good.
Okay.
Watching it on a second time through, I'm like, there's some cheesiness because of the year that it came out, but yeah, I really like Spider-Man 2. 1 and 3 are, well, 3 is really bad. 1 was at least watchable. It had, you know, I almost said Norm MacDonald. That's not right. Norman Osborn. I wish that Norm MacDonald had played Norman Osborn.
You get to watch Willem Dafoe chew scenery in the first one. I mean, come on.
You do. Willem Dafoe's just a hero.
Just doing his best Willem Dafoe.
Yeah. No, he's at his Dafoe-iest.
There you go.
Dafoe-ism,
for sure. Well, guys, that's going to be it for us here today. Nate, thank you once again for coming on. It's kind of out of nowhere to talk with us a little bit. We appreciate it, guys. Remember, next week, you're probably going to be looking forward to some great New York Comic Con announcements, guys. So make sure that you are back here with us Thursday at 3 p.m. But that's going to be it for us here at the Secret Bungalow. Joe, take us away.
Will Venom 2 suck? Should Sony let Disney make it good? Tune in next time. Same Twitch time. Tune in next time. Same Twitch time. Same Twitch channel.
I'm keeping that in because it shows you how terrible of a sidekick you are. I hate you.
Country.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.